Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman.
And as many of you know, I'm all about new products and gadgets. But in this podcast, we're going to talk about a gadget I could never showcase on NBC's Today Show, or maybe really any broadcast TV show, because it's a very adult product. And I'd like to say at this point that if you're under 18 years of age, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast, because our guest is the amazing Brian Sloan, and he is the inventor of something called the Autoblow AI. It's the first device that uses artificial intelligence to imitate the sexual experience of a blowjob. That's right, a blowjob. Now, I'm sure I have your attention. Barry Sloan has made this handy tech gadget available to the public on autoblow.com. And a recent his crowdfunding effort drew 5,500 men in 64 countries to raise $755,000 to turn his idea into an actual product. Sex toy inventor Brian Sloan graduated from law school in 2005, but decided he had a greater potential helping people masturbate than he did helping them with their legal problems. And Brian is here today to talk about Autoblow. And Brian, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And my first question for you is, why does the world need another sex toy like Autoblow? And aren't there something similar to that in other sex toys on the market that are similar? How is this different?
Yeah, so first, thanks for having me. Second, the world is full of bad sex toys. there was a time in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, even into the 2000s, when the sex toy industry was ruled by only a few companies. Those few companies pumped out hundreds or thousands of recycled ideas a year in new packaging and sold them to people for very inflated prices. So what you have is a world full of the same things that have been redone and rebranded since, you know, for the last 30 years. So for men, specifically, you know, before I invented the Autoblow, you know, 10 years ago, then there was a version 2 and several other version 2s. Now there's the AI version. But even this whole time, you know, inventing sort of a better automatic masturbation experience for men, the industry still pumps out handheld rubber butts in plastic tubes that men need to manually operate. So the standard that the industry has set is very low, and I thought that I could do something much better using the latest technology for men.
So how is it, describe it to, I mean, we're all familiar with what a blowjob is. How does this work, and how is artificial intelligence involved in it?
Yeah, so that's a long story. So first, I'll explain the mechanics of the device. This new device uses a silicone sleeve, and there's a gripper inside of this sort of box-shaped thing. The grip grabs, manipulates that part of the sleeve up and down, but also can do fine movements. Can manipulate it a small amount up and a long way down. And there are speed controls. There are different blowjob experiences that can be selected. And there's a pause button for men who don't want to finish. They can press pause and sort of wait until they're not going to finish, and then they can unpause and they go into the same in the same blowjob experience. The way that we involved artificial intelligence was that, you know, the way that sex toys have been made, even the sort of newer generation, people just decide how to program them, right? There are very few strokers that exist, but the strokers that exist, people just said, oh, we'll make it go up a little and down a little, and that'll be a mode. So I became curious about, well, let's take this kind of human aspect of deciding what the mode should be out, and let's understand what are the actions that actually occur in real life. So we used a process called machine learning on a large data set of blowjob movement data. So we had six people watch 1,000 hours of blowjob films, and they had to manually mimic them, and they had to watch that at half speed, by the way, and they had to mimic the action that was occurring in the film with this head on a penis, a drawing of a penis. So, and every time they moved that head that tracked the movement in the film, we took 30 screenshots every second and tracked the location of that fake head on that fake penis on the screen. And so what this generated was terabytes of data of tagged blowjob data that we used machine learning to understand what those movements were, you know, across these 1,000 hours of footage that were watched. And we discovered these 16 most common movements that occur during real life blowjobs. And then we programmed those 16 movements into the machine, so that what the machine does isn't just what we think the machine should do to people, it's actually what happens in real life to one's penis when they're receiving a blowjob.
So there's a whole video that I watched that you produced that explains this, and we will use it, you know, when we post this podcast, because it really was fascinating that you went to such science to develop this product.
Yeah, this is available. You know, other industries are using modern science, sex toys. If you go to the sex toy show and you see what people are doing, there's very little science and a lot of marketing. So we thought the science is available. It's not cheap, but it's not so expensive that it's cost prohibitive. And so it's available. So I wanted to use it, be the first one to use it to improve people's sexual experience.
So Brian, you have introduced different variations, you know, of this product, of the Auto Blow, right? I mean, you've sold so many units. Just give us a little bit of the history of that.
Yeah. So at the beginning, look, I was living in China for 10 years, 2007 to almost 2017.
Why?
And at first, I moved there actually after, I moved there because I went there at first to buy antiques, and I sold them in the U.S. This was after law school, after I decided not to be a lawyer.
Right.
And I went on a bunch of trips there, and I started meeting a lot of other people there, entrepreneurs from all over the world. And I just thought, well, whatever the next phase is, it should be in Beijing or wherever everything's happening. So I moved there. I thought it would be for a year, and I lasted about 10. And it was really when I was there because in the years after law school, I was selling all kinds of things, but I was importing from China latex fetish wear, like rubber suits. And so when I went to China, I was selling them on eBay. And it was my plan in China to make a website to sell these rubber suits to the world from there. And so this sort of began to expose me to the opportunities that existed in the adult products industry. And then it was soon after that I had the idea for the first Auto Blow. The first Auto Blow was very simple. It was a battery-powered product. I will say now it wasn't fantastic, but it was also a different time. It was 2008. The sleeve was difficult to clean, and it was underpowered. But people liked that, but it had limitations. So I knew that if I could improve that product, then I'd have a much larger potential market. So I spent years basically building multiple iterations of that product until it became Auto Blow 2, which we crowdfunded in 2014. And then we've basically gone from Auto Blow 2, which just goes, it plugs into the wall, it's powerful, it has a removable sleeve, but it only goes up and down, and you can only control the speed, and it's relatively loud. So we basically then improved it into this new version, which is much quieter, and it gives you different blowjob experiences. It doesn't just go up and down in the same kind of mode.
So how many units have you sold all together?
Yeah, I was asked the same question. How many customers?
Yeah. So by now, more than 250,000 Auto Blow 2s we've sold since 2014. And I think we sold about 30,000 original Auto Blows in the first years. Let's say we had 3-4 years, we sold only 30,000 original ones, 250,000 from 2014 to now. And now just last week, we launched Auto Blow AI, and we started selling that. So it's a fair number of machines.
I'm curious, what part of the world is buying the most? So if there's a breakdown of this?
Yeah, well, the U.S., U.S. shoppers are fantastic, and they love blowjobs. Our main market is really the U.S. and Canada, and we sell to distributors and around the world. But actually, there's a really great market that I love, and it's Switzerland. So for the size of the country and how many Auto Blows they've purchased, that's kind of the number one per capita market, because our product is on the expensive side. In the sex toys, you know, niche. So in Switzerland, being a wealthy country, people choose, they say, well, what's the good one? What's the expensive one is the good one. So I'll choose that one. So, you know, whereas in the US and other places, people are kind of stretching to purchase the expensive one. In Switzerland, it's normal to purchase the expensive one. So they bought a lot of them.
So where in the United States is the most, what city is like, what two cities are the most popular for the Autobahn?
I'd have to go look at analytics, but I think it's just by the size of the, probably by the size of the state. You know, California is a big chunk of the country. So I guess the biggest cities have the big chunks, but per capita, I'm sure there's some gems. I'd have to look at the data. If you want to know, I can look at it and find, oh, in that town of only 30,000, we've sold, 400.
Brian,
that's a lot. So,
how much is it?
The Autoblow 2 is about $150, and the Autoblow AI is about
$250. $250. And I'm just curious, do you get a lot of returns? No one returns it? What's been the feedback from both the two units that you have for sale right now? What kind of feedback have you gotten from customers?
I mean, look, I think most people enjoy the product. There's always going to be people that, when you sell any product, I mean, you get people who say, yep, we'll get an email. I received this product and I couldn't have an orgasm. Please send me the return instructions. And it's like, it's not exactly the kind of product that we can clean up and sell again. But, So we have customer service like anyone else, and we try to do what we can for people or give them tips on how to use it. But I think if people keep their expectations reasonable, the vast majority of people enjoy using our machines.
And what about the competition? There are other things we mentioned. There's the Fleshlight and things like that do something similar. How does this compare to that?
So the only competition we have in most masturbators are handheld, so they're not using any technology. You just move them up and down. I don't consider these to be our direct competition. There's a product called from Fleshlight called Fleshlight Launch. That product, I think actually it's a good product, but it's twice the size of Autoblow AI. And if you see pictures of people holding it, it's enormous. So I think for people who care about the size of the product, not holding something that's as big as a beach ball or something. I think they care about that. But there aren't any other. It's the smallest for what it does. It's the smallest possible product, and we received now one, and there's another one issuing two U.S. patents based on the on this unique design of the product that allows it to do what it does in such a small form factor. So we really only have the one direct competitor. It's this thing called Fleshlight Launch.
Do you see yourself diversifying into female sex toys, or you want to stay exclusively in the male side of things, or what are your thoughts on that?
We had many years. I had a brand before for women called Ladygasm, and we sort of had this couples brand called Let's Gasm. I've finished with my women's sex toys career. Women's sex toys, we did that on, we had a number one SKU for a few things on Amazon for dildos and vibrators over the years. But the women's sex toy market is totally saturated. And people in that market are competing on price with each other. So they're making almost identical products to each other. There's very few new products in the niche. And as soon as a new product, because the market size is just much larger than the male market, as soon as anyone does anything interesting, 2 months later, you have someone copying it. And the reason also is that female sex toys are, relatively speaking, smaller than male sex toys, okay? So if there's a new design or some kind of new trend, it's very easy. It costs maybe $10,000 to copy that for your mold and for your research. But male sex toys are much larger, okay? So when you want to copy something that's a machine and it's large and has electronics and programming, and the molds are just that much bigger and it has more pieces to the molds, you can't spend $10,000 to copy. You need to spend $100,000 to copy. So for that risk factor, not that many other companies are interested in playing in the male sex toy niche, especially the automatic niche. The cheaper stuff is copied all the time. It's cheap. But it's easy to copy. But the big stuff like ours, complicated products are much more difficult to do that with.
Have you seen a cultural shift? Like, there was a time
that, you know, any kind of these sex toys were in brown paper bags and was very seedy, and it's in a seedy store in a seedy part of town. And now it's sort of like sexual wellness, and it's all about, you know, kind of mainstream. Are you seeing that, or is it still a dirty little secret? I mean, what have you noticed as far as culturally the shift, if there has been one?
Yeah, you know, we started out for years before we ever sold to it. We sold to the store, a store, for the first time in 2015. So we operated this business online completely. So we weren't really exposed to this, you know, we didn't see that there's any stigma, because all we see is our data in Google Analytics, right? And our, mm-hmm. and our website and what, you know. So we don't see that online, but I know from the store perspective, I know some old timers in the industry. There are people whose, you know, father owned 30 stores and now they own the 30 stores. And the people at the beginning, it was definitely a different universe. They had to hide that from their friends and their family, that that's the kind of business they were in. And they, you know, I still have customers. We sell to their stores. A guy might have 40 stores, and each one is a different corporation with a weird name, okay, that makes that it's very hard to connect, actually, when you're trying to do your bookkeeping, because they were scared right. of the authorities closing them down. And so, you know, they couldn't close them down if they didn't know that the stores were all connected. So this idea is kind of old, and then I don't see that there's that much stigma today for women's toys, but still I think there is a stigma for male toys. You can't see male toys in the kind of mainstream stores that have accepted them. Walgreens has vibrators, Target has vibrators, Walmart has vibrators, but they don't have male masturbation stuff, so that's actually okay for me. It's as a seller of male things online, but I don't think it's that good overall that there's still a stigma associated with the male part.
So Brian, my agency was very involved with adult video when it first came out. Yeah. We did video in general, but of course adult video was there. I want to ask you, on a personal level, you know, what is it like for you to be the creator of this product? You have a family, you've got parents, you've got sisters and brothers and neighbors. What is your life like, and how do you explain this?
Yeah, I don't have any problem explaining what I do to people. But also, I had the unique experience of growing this business from living outside the country. So I was in China for 10 years. Chinese people don't care what you do. Oh, it's an interesting business. Sounds good, right? We lived in Germany then for 3 years. In Germany, no one. It's not like shocking to people. But I did just move back to the United States, to the Seattle area. And I wondered if there'd be any difference. And at least so far, I don't think that it's caused me any personal issues. And I think actually, if it did cause an issue, if someone felt strange about that, if a neighbor or a friend felt strange, well, they wouldn't be important to me then, right? It would be a pretty good way to know if there's someone I'd want to know or not. So I think it's a good way to sort people out from people I'd want to know versus people I wouldn't want to know, because people I want to know wouldn't have any issue with that. So it's,
well,
I don't
do you have
it,
like
it's
cousins?
Ever affected me.
Yeah. Do you have like cousins or other relatives that like kind of like, ooh, you know, they whisper behind your back saying what you do for a living?
No, I've been very, and especially because I'm very open about that. I use myself in all my advertisements. You know, it's me on the internet promoting the product all the time. So I didn't, you know, from the beginning, I didn't feel that this is anything to be ashamed of.
Brian? Obviously, your family isn't Lois's family. That's what we've just learned here. She would be shunned.
My family, when they hear this podcast, you know, I will be getting disowning letters from them.
That's all right.
We're, you know, there's no question about it. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, do you think that the world is ready to be open to more of these products, you know, to discuss it? And that, you know, one person, there's going to be like a lot of referrals because this is something everyone wanted, but they were afraid to talk about.
You mean my product or sex toys in general?
Your product.
Look, I found that the place that I think when a guy buys this kind of thing, he doesn't tell his direct friends that he bought one. But if he's an online person, he talks about that on Reddit or whatever forum he hangs out in online. So the news tends to spread. They do tell people that they know, but they're not people they know in real life. They're people that they know online. So it's different. And I think men I know that there's a product for a few new sort of vibrators for women that I know spread the news, spread actually person to person that this product
yes,
really works.
Women do talk about that, right?
Yeah, but I don't think that men talk about that so directly, but I know that they do talk about it online because I track what they talk about in forums, and they do talk about it to people they don't directly know in real life.
Okay, so
and
now
I'm
going to ask now what could be a very naive question, but I know that our listeners are going to want to understand this. So you talk about blowjob versus masturbation. With this
yeah.
product, what does it really simulate, and what is the difference between the two? Since I don't know. But...
Yeah, okay, so the reason we say this is we call this a blowjob machine. During the act of a blowjob, there is a kind of sliding and gliding action of the hand and the mouth and saliva that occurs to the penis, okay? Which
right.
is different than using one's hand. So what the sleeve does, and this is kind of what our patent is on, it grabs the sleeve. So you have to use lubricant, and it grabs the sleeve, and then that kind of grabs your penis. But it doesn't grab it so hard, and it doesn't grab it so lightly. So the way that it grabs it, it's manipulating this sleeve up and down with the lubrication in a way that mimics the mouth and hand of an actual blowjob. So that's why we say it's a blowjob. Whereas something that you just move up and down in your penis, maybe it feels better than your hand, but you're not actually mimicking any real sexual act.
And so, Brian, do you think that this is something that, I mean, maybe I'm going really in the wrong direction, but also is it marketed to handicapped people or, you know, older people or what? I mean, there's kind of
yeah.
a market that maybe is out of mainstream traditional sex who really would need something like this almost on a therapeutic basis. Is that, am I
yeah.
wrong? Am I stretching or is that kind of realistic?
No. We definitely have, especially on the Indiegogo campaign, there's a lot of guys who are in wheelchairs. Not I won't say a lot, like out of 5,500, it's not like there's 1,000, but you know, maybe there's 100 or 50 or something. And I get emailed, these guys tend to email me about this. They want something that's hands-free, that some of them have like an assistant who helps them do some basic stuff, and they don't want to have to ask the assistant to help them to masturbate, right? So
right.
Actually, there's a blind guy who emails me a lot about this as well, and he was concerned about how does it work and how can I see like what to do with it. But the wheelchair guys, they ask for handle like an accessory that they can kind of mount, and this is something I'm working on. We made
mm-hmm.
one for the Autoblow 2, a handle for it was really for everyone, but these guys I think like it in particular. So some guys don't have any grip strength in their hand. So they can
right.
kind of use their hand, but not really. So if they can sort of dangle the Autoblow, because it's hard, it's a little bit big, it's hard to grip. But if they can kind of dangle the Autoblow from their hand, from this handle, then it makes it easier to use. And we also know that older people are using them. I get emails, people tend to email me and overshare sometimes. We definitely have older men. I have a Hall of Fame in my email box folder. Who actually they're 80 years old, and their wife isn't into, you know, sexual activity anymore, and they are. And so they're looking for something to keep them occupied in a sexual way. So definitely it goes from, you know, young people to the very old, and with a lot of people in wheelchairs in between.
So your product, you would say, is a blowjob and not masturbation, because you're using it, you're going back and forth interchangeable on these words. I want to know, if somebody asks me directly, I want to be able to tell them precisely what this is.
Oh, this is we call it a blowjob machine. This is a masturbator. The general category, we call this a male masturbator. And then you say, which kind of male masturbator is it? It's a blowjob machine, which is actually the niche that we invented within male masturbators.
Okay, got it. I'm really glad you defined that. The other thing I want to ask before we end is two things. One is, what do you think that this is going to do for the world? Because when I was watching the video and I was reading up on your company, I mean, if a lot of people who don't have sex with a partner or by themselves, whatever, I mean, this could change a lot of attitudes, you know, make people more relaxed, just the way pot does. I mean, do you see that or am I going in the wrong direction? I mean, where people are stressed out and they're very frustrated with the world, but maybe that their attitudes and their outlooks will change if they use this product.
Yeah, I think of it, you know, although it's a, we advertise that that's a sexual product, but it's really just a product that makes people's lives a little bit better. So, and there are a lot of these kind of products. I don't think it's any different than a massager. You can go into a Brickstone and buy a massager that's going to massage your shoulders or your feet, and it's considered very normal to own one of those. And I don't think that this is any different. Just because you're massaging your penis and you're having an orgasm at the end, I don't think it's any less of a normal way to relax than massaging any other part of your body. So I think if more people did that, I think you just increase people's happiness. It's not going to make you from an unhappy person to a happy person, but it can. I think it has the potential to make your day a little bit better sometimes when you need that.
And I think the category of sexual wellness kind of is a way of making it more mainstream so that people recognize that their sexuality is part of their life, just like their dietary issues and everything else. So is this. So by pursuing sexual wellness, you know, it kind of takes that brown paper wrapping off of it, which I think is probably a good thing. I'm still kind of focused on the fact that the female masturbation products are way more mainstream than the male ones, and I think that just sucks. And of course, that pun was intended. anyway.
Wait a minute. Before we go, I want to make sure, Brian, tell everyone where they, we'll put it in the written notes, but you know, where does everybody go to buy this?
If people would like to find out about just how relaxing a dick can be using such a machine, they can go to autoblow.com and check them out.
Autoblow.com. I want to make sure that...
Autoblow.com. Yeah. And on that site are some really... You've got an animated cartoon that kind of explains a little bit of how it works. You've got your own pitch. There's just really a lot of great information. So if you're confused about any of this, or you need to delve into it deeper, or of course if you want to purchase Autoblow, Autoblow.com is the place to go. And Brian, I think this has been wonderful. Do you agree? Are we good, Lois?
We're terrific.
Okay, so
fantastic.
Once again, thank you again. And once again, I'm Steve Greenberg with...
Lois Whitman.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. Thank you, everyone.